familiar passage of scripture, one that many of you have read. You've heard many sermons from it. Today, what I want to do is to look at it again and hopefully focus our attention on the prolific power of Jesus as it relates to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, this is the story of the seventh sign chosen by John, who stated his purpose was to share signs that would cause the reader to read and be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and in believing, one would have life through his name. These seven signs, this is the seventh of the seven signs. The first one deals with family. Jesus was invited along with his disciples to a wedding. Here Jesus and his disciples are attending a funeral. It's interesting because it's the family that has receive value from the visit of Jesus on both occasions. So we know family is very important to him. But we also know that within the context of family, there's going to be those moments of joy, and then there are going to be those moments of sadness. This is just a part of life, and it's a part of family. In John 11, we have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who have served as hosts to Jesus on a number of occasions. Jesus, in attending the feast at Jerusalem, Bethany, being just a few miles from Jerusalem, Jesus would take the opportunity to stay in their home, not having hotels and motels. It was necessary for individuals to open their homes to travelers who were coming to the feast days. Jesus stayed with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You know, when you think in terms of this lesson, I'm not going to be able to share the entire episode that is related by John, but what I want to do is to do as I do when I go to visit different interesting places. You're not able to visit all of the places or some of the places you have visited. You want to get some mementos. You want to get some keepsake. And so what I'm doing, based on my study, is pulling forth at least four mementos, four keepsake that I hope we will receive from our study in Bethany. The first one that I want to emphasize is delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. The second that I want to take from this story is Jesus' emotional connection with us. I want to also say, as we come from this great lesson, that death does not have the last say. And then the last memento or keepsake is that resurrection power is available even today. Delay is not denial. Look again with me, John 11, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Here, sickness, the word sick means that Lazarus was sinking fast physically. It means a deathly sick, different from just being sick with a headache or a cold. This sickness surely was at the point of death. When you think in terms of the statement of Mary and Martha to Jesus, they just simply say, your friend Lazarus is sick. I like the fact that they emphasized the friendship. They emphasized the love that was between their family and Jesus. When you think in terms of his delay, you have to know that it's not because of a lack of relationship. It was not because the Lord did not care. When word came to him, he purposely delayed his going to Bethany at the bedside of his friend Lazarus. The very word love there means a relationship love, a love of caring, a love of friendship. So when you consider the fact of his delay, let it not be because of a lack of relationship, love, or friendship. When we look at Jesus' delay, there are several things that I believe help us to understand why he delays on certain occasions. Number one, we have to recognize that God acts in a sovereign way in perspective of our situations. Our response is a human response. His is a divine sovereign response, which simply means that his response is one of supreme, absolute, unlimited, unrestricted, unrestrained, unabounded attention. You and I are limited. You and I are restricted. You and I don't have the ability to do what the Lord does. So our delay may be to the fact that we are limited. But when Jesus delays, be assured of the fact that time has nothing to do with it. Know also that his ability to perform in the situation has nothing to do with it. Why? Because he is sovereign, which means that I can do what I want to do when I want to do it and like I want to do it. So whenever the Lord delays, always keep in mind that it is his sovereign perspective that has caused him to delay. Also know that in his delay, that many times it is his desire that the situation gets worse before it gets better. It gets worse before he does something about it. You and I want the Lord to respond immediately, but in the Lord's response, his delay may mean that I want you to go through something even further than what you're experiencing now. I know that that is the case here. Because had he gone at the point of sickness, he and his father would have received glory in healing Lazarus. But for Lazarus to die, greater glory and honor is given to God in resurrecting him than in healing him of his sickness. I know you and I want God to come immediately when we call on him and when we let him know something is going wrong. But the Lord in his delay is not denial. It's just that he has something more important that he wants to accomplish. Think about Joseph. Joseph, who was shunned, hated, sold by his brothers, lied upon by Potiphar's wife. This young man, for 13 years, ended in one bad situation after another bad situation. The question is, why didn't God respond to him when his brothers sold him and mistreated him? But God allowed the situation to get worse and worse. But when God did show up, when God did come to his rescue, God brought him out of a jail and put him at the right hand of Pharaoh, getting far more glory in that moment than he would had he attended him in his beginning of trial. Hebrew boys, same. They were having problem in trial when Nebuchadnezzar told them that he would throw them into the lion's den. God, why don't you come and save them from the lion's den? God said, no, I'm going to let it get worse. I'm going to let them throw them in the lion's den. And the fire be seven times hotter, that even those who throw them into the fire will be destroyed. God's delay many times is that God wants your situation to get to a point so bad, until when he does show up, he gets far more glory than you'll ever be able to give to him at any time. Also know that his agenda is beyond just your situation. Whenever God hears about your situation, God is aware of how your situation is going to impact the rest of the family, how your situation is going to impact your neighbors, how your situation is going to impact the people on your job, how your situation is going to impact many other people. So many times, God's delay is because God has more people and circumstances that are in his view than your narrow view of what's going on in my life. So whenever God delays, it's not because he is denying. It's because God has more on his agenda, more in his response than what you are dealing with. What we have to learn is that when God does delay, don't lose faith. Keep your trust in God. The Bible said that his ways are past finding out. None of us are able to understand the depth of his wisdom, the depth of his knowledge. God's ways are unsearchable. So when he delays in your trial, delays in your circumstance, know that when he does show up, he's going to show out. Am I right about it? God is a good God. So I say to us, as we take this nugget from Bethany, delight, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. If he delays, still delight thyself in the Lord. Verse number 5, commit, Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When he delays, commit to the Lord. When he delays, trust the Lord. God will eventually come to your aid. In verse number 6, the Bible tells us he shall bring forth the righteousness. But I like verse number 7. He said, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. I like the word wait, because the word wait means that you're agitated. The word wait means that you're stirred and you are anxious. The word wait there means that if you're not careful, you'll do something that you shouldn't do. But the God says, in spite of your anxiety, God wants you to wait on him. God will come through. So I'm saying to us that God's agenda is not our agenda. God has far more in mind. Just because he's delaying doesn't mean that he is denying. God knew what he was going to do. And Jesus knew what he was going to do when he did come to the house of Mary and Martha. The second nugget that I want you to take from this is that Jesus emotionally connects with his people. Now, this is I think we just take for granted that this is the case, but I want you to look at it with me a little differently here this morning. In John 11 and verse number 32, watch what the Bible says. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, you see, that's her agenda, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw, watch the word, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping. The weeping there is a wailing. If you know anything about Jewish custom, they hired folk to wail. They hired folk to cry. That's how you knew somebody dying or had died, is that they wailed loudly, beating and making a lot of noise. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, watch this, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse number 35, my favorite verse. This is the first verse I learned. I couldn't eat until I had a Bible verse, and this is the one that I gave them. Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus wept. I always got a meal after Jesus wept. Now, that may be a short verse. Some believe it's the shortest verse in the Bible. But it is the most powerful verse, because it says so much about who your God is, who your Christ and your Savior is, when it comes to him and your situation and your life, that he could be emotionally charged with your situation. I like the fact that the Bible says, then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Jesus, I know a lot of people say, well, y'all not show emotion. Well, you can't tell Jesus that, because Jesus was willing to display, God displayed, that I can cry and I can empathize with these individuals who are struggling. The three words that I want you to take from this section, groaned. That is a display of emotion, of being upset, angry, stern. It's like that old dog when he growls at you. It's almost like that horse that snorts when he's under heavy load. Jesus was showing that he was visibly upset, groaned, and troubled. Troubled to the point that he wept. Now, his weeping was not the same as those who were wailing, but this shows that tears came forth. He was emotionally shaken by what was going on. May I say to us that Jesus did this, and this is really what helps me to know how much he connects with us is that he knew when he went that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that because he told the disciples, he said, he sleepeth by now. They didn't understand it. Jesus said, let me speak plainly. Lazarus is dead, but I must go that I might awake him. What I like about this is that in spite of knowing his sovereign power, his ability to raise this man from the dead, and I'm going to raise him from the dead, he was able, even in the midst of that, to see the hurt, to see the pain and the agony, and then be touched to the point that he would cry even in the midst of that. I don't think you and I really know the depth of our hurt, but I'm going to make this point. And you hear me well. There are a lot of times you crying and you don't know why you're crying. There are a lot of times that you are sick and you don't really know why you're emotionally sick. But here's what I know about Jesus. And that is that Jesus knows more about you than you know about yourself. Jesus knows about what's causing the problem. If you haven't identified it yet, he already knows. But in the midst of him knowing, he's still able to empathize and cry with you. What a mighty, mighty, mighty sympathetic, empathetic, compassionate God that we serve. And he's not a respecter person. I know somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, my wife doesn't care, but Jesus cares. Somebody say, well, my husband doesn't care, but Jesus cares. You may say your friend doesn't care, but Jesus cares. You may say your church doesn't care, but Jesus cares about you. He is with you. And let me say this to you as I move to my next point. Jesus doesn't have to come to you. Jesus is already with you. Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So while you're going through your situation, the Lord doesn't have to, you don't have to send word for him to come. He's already there. The Lord is already there. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says. Seeing then in Hebrews 4 and verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. All I'm saying to you is, don't hesitate in calling on him. Don't wait until things get worse. Go on and call on him immediately. Put a call in to him and say, your servant whom you love is going through this. But all I'm saying to you is that if he doesn't come on that day, wait on him. If he doesn't come in a week, wait on him. If he doesn't come in a month, wait on him. If he waits 13 years, call and just let him know that even if you don't come, I'm still going to put and commit my faith and my trust in you because I know that you care. That's what this story teaches, that he does care. Thirdly, here's what I know. Death does not have the final say. John 11, verse number 38, watch what the Bible says. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Now, you know the story and the history of that is that Jews felt that when a spirit departed from the body, that it always stayed around the body at least about 3 days in hope that it could be resuscitated. But then after 4 days, they believed that the spirit departed and there was certain sure death on that day. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, when he raised the dead of Jairus' daughter, it was the same day that she died. When Jesus raised the dead of the widow of Nan's son. It was the same day that he died. But Jesus purposely waited until all superstition had been taken away. Jesus waited on, came on the fourth day, because there's going to be no doubt. Bible said that the body was stinking by now. It was already going into corruption, but Jesus wants the world to know. I know he's sick, but I need my disciples. I need the Jews that are around me. I hear a lot of folk already got word out they're going to kill me the next time I show up in Judea. There are a lot of folk who are paying close attention to who I am and what I am. Well, I'm going to use this day, and I'm going to show them that I can do more than just open the eyes of a blind man. I can do more than give lame men back their legs. I can do far more than what you have seen me do. I'm going to show you that the Son of Man has power to resurrect the dead. And he's sure enough dead, because it's on the fourth day. Here's what I like about it, is that Jesus says, when she said the body stinks by now, you know, he had an early conversation with Martha. When verse number 21, watch what the Bible said. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, my brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus heard what she said, and he said, hey, there ain't going to be no last day. I am the resurrection and the life. You're talking about the last day. I'm talking about today, the resurrection. The power to raise this man is with you today. And that's the beauty of Jesus showing that he has the last word concerning death, not death itself. In John 5, verse number 28, the Bible said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. All that are in the graves are going to hear his voice. But here, what I like about Jesus, as I close, is that Jesus Christ wanted the world to know that I am able to resurrect by my word even this day. And so he said, show me where you laid him. And when they took him to the grave, he said, roll away the stone. And I like the fact that they had to move the stone. Then he prayed to his father. Father, you always hear me, and you always answer my prayer. Then after that, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, Lazarus. Thank God he didn't just say, dead folk get up, because everybody would have gotten up. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And he walked out of that tomb bound in his grave clothes. Then the Lord said, loose him and let him go. I wonder, why did he cry? Oh, I read many, many interpretations of why he cried. Somebody said maybe he cried not just because he was empathizing with Mary and Martha, but he was also empathizing with Lazarus himself, because Lazarus' spirit had already gone and departed. And that spirit had already made destination to the other world, which is a better world than this one. For him to call Lazarus back to this body, call him back to this world, I know that that had to hurt him, because you're going to have to suffer just a little while longer. Some folk think death is bad, but death is a friend to the saint, to the child of Almighty God. Death is something that is going to be brought into abolition by Jesus Christ himself. And he did that in his own life when he was resurrected from the dead. Let me leave you with three things that I learned from this, and then I'm going to close. Three things. Number one, death is real. Number two, there is life after death. That's what this teaches me. And then this body will be resurrected. I know some of you some of you cremate the body. Now, I don't know why you do that, but I'm going to say this. If you're doing it thinking that once I cremated, it's gone, that nobody will be able to find the pieces and the ashes, that ain't true. The God that I serve is a God who will find every speck, every ash, and he'll be able to put that body back together. Now, here what I know from this text is that the body is something that God puts high value on. Or it may be a dead body, but it's a body that has value to God Almighty. Somebody ought to ask me, why does it have value? Has value because God's going to reconnect the spirit to the body. The body of Jesus was so important to the resurrection story itself. You wouldn't believe in the resurrection unless God truly took the spirit that departed and put it back in the body that it was once in. That's the only way you have proof that there is a resurrection. The body itself must come back and be resuscitated. Lord have mercy. I'm not against cremation. All I want you to know is that it's not an out. The body gonna come back together. Amen. Walls and light. Amen. Well, good point, Brother Gibbs. Move on. As I close, and I'm not preaching against cremation. I'm just simply saying, know the value of the body and know the value that God puts on the body. And number one, death is real. Number two, life after death. Number three, the body will be resurrected. And then I want to just briefly mention this last one. Resurrection power is available now. This is what it taught me. It taught me that more than just the body sometimes dies. Sometimes people's hopes die. Sometimes people's joy dies. Sometimes there are issues in their life that causes them to die. Relationships die. We need to hear that the power, listen to me, the power of resurrection is available in life. What do you mean by that, Brother? The very power that God used to resurrect the body is the same power that's available to us in our situation daily. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, I got a dead relationship with my spouse. Don't tell me what God can't do. If you just believe and let God speak to your marriage and speak to you, God has the ability to resurrect even a dead marriage. God can resurrect dead hopes, aspirations, all of these things. Don't lose hope. Don't doubt. Don't despair. Don't give in to a defeated attitude. Take off the grave clothes. Get out of the tombs. Let God speak to you and let God resurrect you. The Bible is right now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to do more than you'll ever ask him to do. You think your marriage is dead? You think your body is dead? You think that all these things that you have lived for, that no longer should you have hope for them? I'm telling you that Jesus said this. Listen to me well. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Wait a minute. He said, I'm able to resurrect, but I'm also the life. Show you a man who understands that Jesus is the life, is a man who gives his life to the Lord and lives his life through the Lord, in the Lord, and by the Lord. That man has life. That man has access to resurrection power in whatever he goes through. I don't ever have to be discombobulated by what I'm going through as long as I know Jesus is with me. I don't have to allow circumstances to overwhelm me as long as I know Jesus is with me. Jesus is trying to tell us, I got the power to do whatever I want to do. I've shown you that I got power over quality. I took water, made it into wine, and it was the best wine. I got power over distance. I healed a boy 20 miles away. I got power over sickness. I healed a blind man from who was blind from his mother's womb. I got the power over time. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? A man was 38 years in his misery, and I healed him. I got power over nature. How do you know? I walked on the water. I got power over quantity. How do you know, God? Because I took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, fed 5,000, had 12 baskets of fragment left over. I got power over death. I allowed a man to die, and 4 days later, I woke him up from the grave. I got the power to do whatever I want to do, when I want to do it, like I want to do it, where I want to do it, with whatever I want to do it with. I got the power to do it. Thank God, he's a powerful Jesus who has life, life, not just in this life, but in the life to come as well. Oh, I done got worked up now. Amen. Amen. And I need to save myself. Amen. Anybody who doesn't know this Jesus, I feel sorry for him. And the reason I feel sorry for him is because he's living beneath the very power that's able to sustain him in life. He has access to it, but he doesn't know how to connect to it. I've been preaching for a long time. I've been preaching for a long time. Been married for a long time. And have a lot of experience. Some of us been good, some of us been bad. Had the ups, had the downs. But here's what I do know. That he brought me through each and every negative circumstance. I'm going to tell you something. You got to know him. See, it's a possibility that a person can know doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, but not know Christ. Somebody said, well, how does that happen? I'll show you. A person can go to the doctor and not really have a relationship with the doctor. But the doctor who knows medical procedures and has been trained and qualified can apply it. But you can walk out of there and never know anything about that doctor. You can go to school, learn from a teacher, all the disciplines, walk out of that classroom, never know the teacher. But you will not ever know the doctrine of Christ and not know Jesus. If you're one who just focuses in on knowing good doctrine and not knowing the man Jesus, you missed him. I truly believe that we're going to have to develop a personal relationship Amen. With the Lord. We're going to have to know him, not just his doctrine, but know him. He said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I will be with you. Why don't you talk to him when you get up in the morning? You say, well, my husband won't talk to me. Jesus will talk to you. Amen, walls and life. Jesus will be with you. And I'm asking you to have this kind of relationship with the Lord. Come to him. Say to the world, I believe, as Martha did, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one to come into the world. You've got to accept him and you've got to believe him. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism. Baptism is a way of resurrection. It is an identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And the Bible said if we've been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You want resurrection today? Come to Jesus. Give your life to him. Get to know him through his doctrine, but know him and not just his word. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
All my trials, all my might is only Jesus brings me strength through all my trials, through all of my trials. When I'm burdened low and I'm full of care, you see.